Long ago, in the distant wilderness of the Moffat era, there were a group of visionary Doctor Who fans with a dream. They didn't like the show as it was, and they wanted to do something about it. It was going to be the ultimate act of love and defiance. They wanted seriously good representation. They wanted human, funny, relatable scripts that fans of both the RTD era and Classic Who could love. They wanted cracking nerdy Whovian jokes. So they set about creating a new Doctor Who for a new generation. But the years rolled by, and their dream was lost to history. Until now. Everything you are about to hear is read directly from a rare, authentic copy of the original television script dating back to 2016. Thanks to the hard work of our crack team at Doctor Who General, this bold reimagining of the beloved series will see the light of day for the first time ever. The show will never be the same, and you will never be the same. Doctor Who General presents Foreman. Nervy, originally written for television by Gillian Miles. Part 1, Wake Up. The door to Nervy Chandatraya's wardrobe is pulled open, thrusting us into the light. We see her immediately, reaching into the space. Dark skinned, dark haired, striking eyes and strong features. She's also blatantly shattered, a hot mess with hair at weird angles and a serious late night expression. Nervy hauls clothes out of her wardrobe and slings them onto the bed, still in her pajamas, that lounge pants and vest combo every student loves. We can see, quite clearly, a tattoo on her forearm. Arabic writing, simply inked. It reads, Courage. Beside Nervy's bed in this student flat is a chest of drawers, an ugly clock squatting like a toad, 7:30. Nervy showers, clothes neatly prepped beside it. Munching toast, Nervy submits her term paper, visibly titled, Examining the Role of Women of Colour in Post-War British Democracy. Piece of toast hanging from her mouth, Nervy emerges from her accommodation, now dressed and groomed. It's all very interesting clothing. Short jacket, slim jeans, trainers. Nice clothing that comes together in a very specific way. It says, Don't look at me, especially coupled with her tied back hair. Her t-shirt, though, says something else. Stamped on it, very clearly, are the words, Representation matters, under a picture of Nichelle Nichols as Uhura. Sliding her bag onto her back as she exits her digs and munches on the toast, Nervy slides into the student exodus that moves to the early morning lectures. A sea of waspy faces with only Nervy and a few others escaping that paradigm. Nervy moves quickly from the building towards her lecture in a straight line. She barely looks up. So she collides, quite unexpectedly, with someone else.
Oi! Watch it!
That someone, a tall, pale-skinned young man with an odd haircut, looks at her with a cocked head. Nervy eyes his lanyard, which identifies him as Dr. Foreman.
Oh, sorry! My fault. I should have been more...
Doesn't matter. You alright?
Yeah, I'm fine.
Good. Now, excuse me.
Nervy moves on, flustered. Pissed off. The doctor simply watches her go, bemused, for a little while. Nervy arrives early at the theatre. The professor, however, an oldish white woman, slender and authoritative, is already setting up.
Hey, Gris.
Hi, Nervy. Are you doing okay?
I would be, but...
Roommate trouble?
She's a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Well, nothing we can do this minute.
A little later, Grace is concluding a lecture before a well-filled politics class. Her projection is on women's suffrage, and a number of the boys in the class are behaving appallingly, rudely chatting and generally behaving like swine.
So we can take it as read that suffrage was an essential aspect of the political landscape in the following century. As soon as women entered the game...
One male student yawns theatrically, and Grace, visibly offended, clears her throat to continue when...
Hey, Dozy!
The yawning boy jolts and looks at Nervy, livid, at the back of the room. The rest of the class looks too.
If actual topic information bores you, you can get lost, alright?
The boy moves to say something.
Don't you dare.
He doesn't say something. Nobody says anything. An awkward silence hangs over the room. Nervy exits the lecture theatre and moves as quickly as possible away from it. Unfortunately, Dozy moves just as fast, and he turns her about to face him.
What do you think you're playing at, huh?
I don't know. What do you think I'm playing at?
I think you're pushing your luck is what I think.
Yeah, because paying attention to the lecture, that's really pushing my luck, right?
You don't get to mouth off at me, you're stupid.
Nope, not stupid, just bored. Your attitude bores me. This conversation is boring. I am bored. Fuck off, Arena.
Nervy carries on, leaving Dozy in the dust. That afternoon, as Nervy crosses the university quadrangle, she passes two students in a state of excitement.
So, it was good.
Mental! You have to check on the next one. Here!
He pulls a small metal can, kind of like an inhaler or a breath freshener, from his pocket.
Have a shot.
Nervy clucks her tongue, disgusted, and walks faster. The doctor watches the students as they inhale a short puff from the canister. Back at Nervy's student digs, she slips into the room with a curious kind of resignation. It's almost vicious, passive-aggressive writ subliminal in body language. She throws her bag onto the couch in a just-so fashion, and her notes and notebook slide out and rest beside it. She goes to the next room, pulls the door open, and immediately slams it shut again with a disgusted cry.
Alex, are you kidding?
Nervy storms away from the door, and in just a little more time than is necessary, her roommate, Alex Starling, emerges from the kitchen in a bleary-eyed, half-dressed state. Scratch that. He's clearly attempting to get into a half-dressed state. His clothes are all in varying states of pulled on, pulled off.
Nerv, hold on.
Nervy stops and turns around, hand theatrically covering her eyes.
You dressed now?
Oh, right. Hang on.
Alex struggles to finish clothing himself until Nervy sighs and comes to help him.
This is ridiculous. I swear to God.
You can't do that. You're an atheist.
Nervy gives a look that would kill a lesser man or woman, but Alex is evidently too high to care.
Common use of language, Starling. Get over it.
Oh, surnames now. You're mad, aren't you?
Nervy finishes helping her friend put his goddamn clothes on and sighs, genuinely exhausted. You can tell, just tell, that this is nothing new. Just another low in a long line of lows.
No, Alex, why would you think I was mad? You're only sitting in your underwear in the kitchen, huffing whatever the hell it is.
It's Axe, Nerv. How have you not picked that up yet?
It's a narcotic, Alex. Anyway, you're huffing that in the kitchen with...
Nervy stops and goes into the kitchen in a sudden burst of angry energy. Alex blunders after her in a stoner's panic.
No, hang on, don't!
And Nervy emerges, pulling a rather well-sculpted white boy out by the ear. He, at least, has managed to put his trousers on without difficulty.
Sorry, mate. Which one are you?
Chris. Sorry, she said she would be back for another hour and...
Don't worry about it. You safe to get back to yours?
Oi, Nervy! Don't kick him out!
Yeah, I should manage.
Nervy goes back into the kitchen and returns with Chris's shirt and shoes.
You'll want these, though, and I'm not dressing you.
Shame.
Both Alex and Nervy give the boy a deadly glare.
Right, yep, that move. Sorry, I'll just,
Chris slinks out the door, and Nervy turns her deadly glare back to Alex, now sheepish. That evening, Nervy walks with Alex from their building, evidently planning to go back quickly. Alex is ready to hit the club. Nervy isn't even properly prepared for the elements, but she's walking with him anyway.
You're gonna be alright?
Oh, come off it, Nervy.
Look, just wanna make sure you don't...
It was a mistake.
You don't know what I was gonna say.
Mistakes. All of them.
Ah! Would it kill you to... I don't know, but would it kill you to do it?
Probably not.
But you're gonna go...
But I'm gonna go to this anyway, yeah.
Just don't take any of that axe stuff, okay? And remember, splink before you drink.
Alex heads off as Nervy stands still, watching him go. Emotions wriggle on her face. Disapproval, concern, even a sort of envy.
No promises.
Wouldn't expect them.
And then Alex is gone, and Nervy hovers aimlessly in his absence. Then, she makes another annoyed noise and turns to go back to the digs. When she's moved no more than a dozen steps, she hears something.
Hello? Don't be thick, Nervy. This is how blondes get stabbed in slasher films.
And she starts moving again. This time, she gets no further than 5 or 6 steps. And, scowling, Nervy heads over towards the noise, over to a big electrical generator, paying such close attention that she doesn't notice someone step out of the shadows and follow her.
All right, Nervy. 10:30 on a Friday. Whoever it is, they're drunk, stoned, or...
From behind the generator, there is a disgusting noise, like if someone threw up a jelly backwards.
Or whatever that means. Guard up. Guard up.
Nervy rounds the generator to find a hunched figure in dark, loose clothing. Face unseen, body stooped over the machine.
Oh! Oh! Hi. Are you alright?
Nervy takes tentative steps towards the figure, still totally oblivious to the person approaching behind her. The figure drops a canister, like the ones the students had. Rolling along the ground, it comes to rest just next to Nervy's foot. She picks it up and eyes it disdainfully. And for the first time, we can see the little stamp that says AX. She clucks her tongue and pockets it.
Look, mate, if you're on this stuff... Okay, that's not a good sound. Come on, let's have a look at you. Easy does it.
Nervy reaches out and... The figure turns and Nervy stops dead, transfixed, horrified. It's a monstrous, oozy thing. Humanoid, but made of a horrid arrangement of pulsing orange gold fibers like muscle strands and nerves, wrapped into this sort of face on a sort of body. And it makes another noise, like a man choking to death and screaming in anguish. It is exactly as hard to listen to as it is to imagine. The figure lurches to its feet, and from one arm a thick, misshapen club of an arm slides out with another jelly vomit noise. Then, out of nowhere, the man who'd followed Nervy, the doctor, steps in and punches the thing out. It falls like a lead balloon and lies still, making odd, quiet, bubbling noises.
Ooh, are you alright?
Nervy stares at the prone thing, slightly slack-jawed, shocked and horrified and generally weirded out beyond reproach. Rather rudely, the doctor snaps his fingers to draw her attention.
Excuse me, miss. Are you...
Yes, I'm fine.
Well, good. I'm sorry, I should have said something. I didn't realise you were going to...
What is it?
Honestly, I'm not really sure. It's some kind of rudimentary frame for a consciousness. But as for the origin...
Sorry, what?
Oh, right, sorry. It's a flesh suit for a homeless mind.
No, I understood that, but how do you know?
Oh, well...
Because that thing, it's not human. It looks alien.
No, yeah, it is.
Holy sh... But you knew that already, and you knew it was a flesh thing, and...
Just relax, deep breaths, you've had a nasty shock.
Don't patronize me! I just saw you punch out an alien! That's more than a nasty shock! Who are you?
I'm the doctor. Before you ask, yes, I'm an alien too, but not like this thing. But also not from Earth.
Nervy looks at him hard.
You can trust me. I'm here to help. I promise.
He looks back at her. Gentle, open, and somehow very old.
All right.
There's a pleasant, poignant pause.
I So I don't think actually I caught your name.
Nervi Chandratreya.
Before another pleasant pause can be enjoyed, the thing jerks upright and lets loose another ugly, gurgling roar. Both the Doctor and Nervi look at each other. They're already looking for support from the other as if this was normal.
Right, Nervi Chandratreya, run for your life.
He takes her hand and they both run, the thing tearing after them with ever-increasing flat-footed steps. Dodging obstacles, jumping fences, the Doctor even vaults over a car, only for the thing to leap clean past it when it gets there. Bearing down on the student Diggs, the Doctor and Nervi hide in an alleyway and the thing lurches past unaware. They're safe, for a minute.
This is too much, this is so weird.
It's fun though.
You're mental.
But the Doctor isn't next to her. He's moved down the alley and he's stopped just short of the dead end. He looks quite calm. Nervi follows him, tentative, rightfully scared.
What are you doing?
The Doctor elbows thin air and with a sudden ripple, a big blue box appears. 7 or 8 feet tall, rectangular, with little inset windows and a sign that reads, Police Public Call Box.
I was looking for this thing.
And you'd want to do that because...
Well, because we need to hide.
Inside a box?
It's the safest place on Earth.
Nervi cocks her head, absolutely baffled. Fascinated and intrigued, sure, but baffled.
Doctor, we're right next to my flat. We should just go there. Wait until...
Oops, I was hoping it would take a little bit longer.
I'm going home right now.
All right, then.
The Doctor pulls an ornate key from his pocket and slots it into the box's keyhole.
Doctor, come on!
Trust me, it's safer in here.
It's a box!
I'd advise getting in.
It's not happening!
The Doctor unlocks the door of the box with a click. He turns to look at her, face conveying so much. He's smug, self-assured, cheeky too. And even then he still looks worried, like he's still scared she won't get in. Won't be safe.
I'll get in the box.
She briskly shoves the Doctor aside and steps into the box. He darts in, and the door clicks shut again. Inside the box is an impossible space. Somehow, stuffed within, there's a big, rounded room. This broad space with 8 walls, bookcases, doorways. Any blank wall is covered with a geometric pattern of big, round, bright lights, recessed into dark wood furnishing. Scattered furniture, a comfy armchair, and the odd stool or cushion. In the center though, dominating the space, is a 6-sided console, a gorgeous white thing with inset panels full of buttons, gears, dials, who knows what else. Each one has a distinct look and feel though, with the tricks built into it feeling purpose-picked. Rising out of the middle is a grand column, near transparent, with a constantly whirring arrangement of gyroscopes within and a monitor circling it on tracks. All of this console glows with a soothing aqua light. The Doctor strides straight over to the console, but Nervi stands just shy of the door, stunned. She's terrified, but she's enchanted. What is this thing? And how does it work? What the hell has she got into? As the Doctor begins reading from and poking at the console, he doesn't look back at Nervi. He's icy in this moment, but not compassionless.
Everything okay?
It's bigger in here, on the inside.
Yes.
How?
Think of it as a dimensional bubble. A whole chunk of space squeezed inside a little blue box.
Nervi relaxes a little and comes further inside. Surveying it, surveying the Doctor, who strips off his jacket and slings it onto the armchair.
And why is it a box?
It's actually supposed to be camouflaged. It's a function called this chameleon circuit. I broke down when I was in 1963.
Sorry, say that again?
Oh, chameleon circuit. It's an act of camouflage. It activates whenever...
No, the part about 1963. How were you in 1963?
Oh, well, you see...
It's found us.
The doctor remains calm and begins to operate a specific pair of console panels as Nervy cringes at the noise outside.
You promised it was safe, did you mean that?
Absolutely, she survived worse than this, a lot worse.
Are you sure? I mean, she's bigger in here, but...
Nervy, trust me, it's not getting in.
And with that, he pulls up an obvious handbrake on the console panel, and the gyroscopes begin to rise and fall with a spine-tingling, groaning, grinding noise. It's very smooth, but there are odd tremors in the room. Nervy starts and grabs for the console to keep herself from falling.
Don't panic, it's just the engines.
Engines? This is a ship?
The doctor nods and goes back to operating the console. He's not disregarding her, but he's very absorbed by his work. Uncertain of her, too. Wary.
So when you said 1963, you meant... Oh, I get it! This is a time machine, isn't it?
Space and time, yes. You know, I have to say, you're taking all rather well.
I was attacked by a tentacle monster and saved by an alien who looks like a lanky white boy. Can't get shocked after a night like that.
She looks around again, and suddenly it all sinks in.
Oh my god, I was... And you're... in this...
This time, the doctor does leave the console alone and comes over to her. Gently, he straightens her up and holds onto her.
It's alright. It's a lot to take in. I understand. It really can't be easy.
What was it doing there?
Don't worry, not right now. Just... For now, breathe. Breathe.
Nervy tries breathing. She keeps looking at this tall, sharp-faced man in his timeship, and she keeps trying to calm down until...
I can't.
She takes hold of the doctor and hugs him tightly, face pressed to his chest. Her whole body is racked by intermittent sobs, and the doctor clearly has no idea what to do. But he tries.
I know. Come on. You'll be alright.
But it's also... I mean, nothing is the same anymore. This is big, huge, and I'm not... I'm just me.
From what I've seen tonight, just you is a very brave, very kind, very social justice-minded young woman. You should be proud.
That's what my mom always says.
Well, she has a point. She's very much right.
Nervy nods and steps back. She looks at the damp patch on the doctor's shirt and smiles, embarrassed.
You haven't got a tissue, have you?
The doctor smiles right back. The thing paces continually in the space the doctor's box once occupied, gurgling, growling. Then, it stands to attention as, in a flash of light, two beautiful orange gold-skinned humanoids appear. They both nod at the thing, which nods back, and then, with more nauseating jelly vomit sounds, it transforms into another gold-skinned humanoid. Even the tatty clothes are absorbed into it, as it manifests the same eerie, featureless jumpsuits they wear. The three vanish in another flash of light. In a warehouse, the three humanoids appear in their customary flash of light, frightening a lone man working at a labyrinth of haphazard electrics. Interwoven in familiar equipment is weird alien stuff, all nestled in a mess of wires. He prods his lab goggles up and steps forward in a striking black lab coat.
And?
The three turn as one, but only the middle one speaks.
We cannot find him.
I don't understand. How could you just lose him? It was a dead end.
He is more.
Right. Is he a problem?
He knows nothing. We can proceed.
Well then, shall we?
Goggle steps back to his workbench and produces a familiar canister. Silvery, like an inhaler. And with the oh-so-recognizable label, AX. The gold men nod as Goggles opens his mouth and sprays the axe, inhaling deeply. He stands stock still in an almost cruciform position, eyes sewed shut, shivering, then jerks back into a hunched, pained posture, throwing his goggles off with the speed. And when his eyes jerk open, they are glowing white.
Let's party!
This dramatic reading was a Doctor Who General production, in association with Frank Offerino Studios. All vocal performances and audio mixing were provided by anonymous contributors. This is a work of fiction. Any resemblances with real-life persons, living, dead, or misgendered, should be attributed to the original writer. Doctor Who General takes no responsibility for the content of Foreman. Foreman will return with Nervy Part 2, Axe.